Welcome back to the Big Red Hockey Cast. I'm your boy Alex. I know Akshay is out this week again. He's got the flu this time. Akshay, hope you get better, buddy. No, but yeah, it's a very interesting weekend for me. You know, it's a quite interesting weekend for the Big Red as well. Going down to Nashville, Tennessee this weekend, as we were all looking forward to it, the Smashville Women's Collegiate Hockey Showcase. From Bellevue Center, the Ford Center in Nashville, the training rink of the Nashville Predators. And honestly, you know, my thoughts on the weekend so far, it's not all bad this weekend. So, you know, I'm going to break into those games real quick. First off, you know, Northeastern Saturday, it's a 5-1 loss to an incredibly dominant Northeastern squad. And honestly, I didn't like I knew that Northeastern was going to be a challenge for the Big Red, but I did not expect this. And I'll say that rough starts continue to be a pattern with the Big Red this year. This game, not our best work, I would say. In terms of goals, we did get the lone Big Red goal from Caitlin Isaac in the second period after going through a rough first. The first period, we went down 3-0. And we, you know, we're forced to battle back. And, you know, in that scenario, it's always like hit or miss. I feel like the Big Red have always found a way to come and keep battling back game after game. But I think, you know, this game just was not to be. But so Caitlin Isaac put that lone goal to give us the one tally in that 5-1 loss. Although in terms of special teams, we did do well in some departments. The penalty kill, we were one of two, and we only allowed 5 shots on the penalty kill throughout the entire game. So a bright spot there for the Big Red, I would say, against Northeastern. Power play 0 of 2, so definitely needs some work in that department. But we did crawl back in the way of shots. I will say we did not. It's not as though the Big Red rolled over and died. That's absolutely not what happened. The Big Red battled to the very end, and it was a very physical game. In terms of goaltending, Deanna Frazier allowed 5 goals on 26 shots, although most of them were coming early in the first. And, you know, I feel for that. You know, sometimes it's not your night, and that's tough. And all I got to say is, you know, it takes time, but when you find your game, you get back into your rhythm. I can't wait to see what Frazier does the rest of the season, because we all know what she's capable of, and I can't wait for it. But no, absolutely not the fault of the goaltending trio, I would say. I think, you know, you win as a team, you lose as a team. And on the other end of the ice, though, Northeastern chose Gwyneth Phillips to make the start, and she made 24 saves on 25 shots. So obviously very dominant performance from the Huskies there. I will say, in terms of notable offensive performances, for the Big Red, of course, Caitlin Isaac with that one goal. That was also her first goal of the season. So congratulations, Caitlin, on that. Additionally, I know I don't like to, you know, toot the horn of the offense of the opponent teams too often, but I did mention this last week that Taze Thompson, the transfer from Harvard for Northeastern, was going to be a formidable opponent, and a formidable opponent she was. She had 2 points on the night in that 5-1 victory for the Huskies. So definitely not our game on Saturday, but let's go to Sunday with Princeton. Princeton, you see definitely an improvement. So by technicality, this is a tie. So it was a 2-2 tie with a shootout loss. In my book, that's a loss. But, you know, for technicality's sake, that's a tie. It was a very, very exciting back-and-forth game to close out the series. Heavy hitters from both sides found the back of the net. And it was one of the most exciting shootout endings I've ever seen in a while. You know, on the Big Red side, we had 2 goals from Lily Delianides, so big game for her. Additionally, Sarah Fillier, a face who is known very well to Doug Dara and the other Canadian Olympic athletes, would score to give Princeton the go-ahead goal before Cornell tied it in the third. In the end, though, it was Izzy Wonder for Princeton who would score the game winner after Claudia Yu was denied by Taylor Hyland in the shootout. But that honestly does not do it justice. That really does not do justice to this shootout. It was back and forth the entire time. It went five or six rounds easily, and there was a distinct segment of that shootout where there was at least, you know, goals scored every time. You know, all the players were dangling on both ends. It was just amazing to watch, and definitely a very, very dominant game. It's super sad that it had to end that way. I really, you know, wish we could have pulled off that win, but you know, you can't fault a team for losing in a shootout. It was a great effort from the Big Red, in my opinion. And so in terms of special teams, we were one of two on the power play. So we did score decent power play numbers. I'll say I like that improvement over Saturday. Penalty kill, we were 100% on the penalty kill. So very, very solid on the special teams in terms of that performance. Goaltending. Now this is what I like. Bell Mende, great performance for her. 33 saves and two goals allowed. Spectacular performance in the shootout, might I add. That's not easy. I don't think you realize how hard it is to be a goalie in a shootout. And as having played goalie in PE class, which is not anywhere near the level of, I would not be able to stop Sarah Filier for the life of me, which I might add, Belle Mende denied Sarah Filier in the shootout. So big props to her for that. But 33 saves, two goals allowed, spectacular performance in the shootout. At the other end of the ice, Princeton put in their backup, Taylor Hyland, and she made 36 saves. So a very dominant performance for the Tigers in net there. Now, other notable offensive performances from this game. Finally, that's right, Gillis Frechette with 2 points on the weekend, breaking 100 career points. Gillis, congratulations. I know I had bet on it the last couple weeks. Akshay, I owe you some money. But I'm so super stoked. And all of us here at BRSN are super stoked for you, Gillis. So congratulations, Captain. 100 career points for Frechette. A two-goal game for Delianitas. And, of course, Belle Mende in net with a season-high 33 saves. And so it was a solid end to the weekend. Although I would say in the non-hockey department that it was also a pretty good weekend as well. I heard that you know, some of the players went down to see some of the sites in Nashville. I know a couple of them were at the Grand Ole Opry. I know one of them actually had a story that said they were going to Luke Bryan's Holler, or Luke Bryan's. There's a bar that's owned by. Technically owned by Luke Bryan. It's a very, very nice bar, very, very nice place to go. Good food, good country music. It's one of my favorite places in Nashville, so I'm so glad they decided to go experience that. The Luke Bryan Tavern, absolutely unbelievable. But, you know, enough about Nashville. Definitely a great trip for the Big Red in that department. And so, you know, that's a I'd call that a good week. But I also want to get to this week's sin bin, though, because this week's sin bin is an oldie but a goodie. You know, this week we got to sit down with a Canadian Olympic gold medalist who was one of our guests on Big Red in Beijing when we covered the 2022 Beijing Olympic Games. We got to sit down with Micah Zandihart, one of the Canadian Olympic gold medalists. It was a great, great conversation. I know Mike was having his fanboy moment there. It was a great, great time, and I can't wait to show you guys that. So, of course, we will see you guys after the sin bin.
Well, it is my honor to introduce to the Big Red in Beijing podcast, the second ever sophomore captain in Big Red women's hockey history, and now accomplished Olympic champion, Micah Zandihart, class of 2020. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for the intro. I'm just excited to be here.
Now, Micah, Can you tell us more about, you know, how you got started in hockey? I know you mentioned you went to the 2010 Olympic Games. Is that where your Olympic dream began, or did it go back even further than that?
You know, I played pretty much every sport growing up. I played baseball even before I played hockey, and I loved baseball, and I played soccer, basketball, pretty much everything I could do, I played. And I think when I was about four was when, or I guess five, was when the 2002 Olympics were happening. And at that time I was just getting into sports, like t-ball and stuff. And I was playing street hockey out in front of my house because my older brother, Ben, played hockey and I wanted to be like him. So I was just getting into sports, and I remember watching the Olympics and I was like, this is the coolest thing ever. Like athletes from all over the world, and like it's bringing people together, but they're competing and all these different sports. And I just remember thinking that was really cool. And I actually probably wanted to go to the Olympics before I wanted to, you know, go to the Olympics for hockey. And then obviously I fell in love with hockey a few years later and never really looked back, but it definitely started pretty early for me, at least going to the Olympics. And that was always my dream from an early age.
So is that right? We can thank Jaina Heffert's iconic goal for maybe the mica that we have today for that gold medal win.
Yeah, I don't know if I could tell you about the goals. Honestly, from a young age, I was such a defenseman. Like I always wanted to protect the goalie. So that probably wasn't what stood out to me in that game at the time. Now I could look back at it and be like, yeah, that's pretty nice. But at the time, I probably loved the fact that they were like hitting each other into the boards and that kind of stuff.
Awesome. The physicality of the game is awesome. And I mean, and that was truly wonderful to see as well. You know, women's hockey at the Olympics is still just as much a blood sport as it is in men's hockey. And that was truly awesome to see. And as we mentioned before on this podcast, Micah, you're truly a trailblazer in the truest sense of the word. You know, from Sinichton, BC, you're the first women's ice hockey player from BC to play in the Olympics for Canada. You're not only a leader on the ice, but a mentor to kids from Victoria. So, you know, we have to ask, you know, who are the people that most inspire you, you know, to keep doing what you do?
Yeah, it's a long list of people. I think for me, it started with my family. I come from a pretty big family. I'm the youngest of four kids. So I always looked up to my three older siblings, and my mom kind of raised the four of us on her own for most of the time. So I also looked up to her and how she kind of managed our family and kind of was a leader of our family. I always thought that was pretty cool. And I think from the hockey perspective, I think what always inspires me is kind of the women that came before us. So, you know, these women like Jaina Heffert, as you mentioned, and all these women that won like four Olympic gold medals in a row and played hockey with such grit in a time when women didn't make anything for hockey. You know, they were just fighting to be on the ice and being able to play. And now for me to be able to play and, you know, like have it as my career per se right now, I feel very fortunate, and I feel like I owe it to them, you know, to make the most of this time that I get to wear the jersey. And then I think the other side of that is I'm always inspired by the next generation. And obviously being from BC, I know that I didn't necessarily have someone very close to me to look up to that I could kind of follow their path. So it inspires me to kind of, like I said, leave the jersey in a better place for the next girls coming up and make sure I do whatever I can to make sure that they stick with their dream. Cause a lot of girls in sport don't, cause they don't see a future in it, but hopefully I can be kind of that poster child for some small communities in BC that maybe you can do more with hockey than you might think when you're in high school or middle school.
Well, I was really amazing and quite touching. Mm-hmm. I was going to ask, you mentioned you had some siblings. Was there ever any sibling rivalry, you know, attached to sports or anything when you were growing up?
Not too much in sports. My siblings are 12 and 7 years older than me. So anytime I tried to compete with them, I had no chance. But we definitely had some competition around the table playing cards or board games and like stuff like that growing up that I could maybe be on their same level as. But anything physical, I had no hope at that age for sure.
But I also want to talk a little bit about, I know coach touched it on a little bit earlier, but for those of the listeners who don't know, obviously there's still a current, I would say, you know, fight for a unified league and professional women's hockey where really the players can be able to afford to play the sport that they love at a reasonable, you know, wage amongst other things. So can you speak to the work that you and your teammates and even some of the USA competitors are doing to continue and promote women's hockey?
Yeah, I mean, it's a united front, as you said. It's players coming together from many different countries to try and create this league that I think women's hockey deserves to have after all these years, and something that's not going to last for, you know, 1 or 2 years, but something that's going to last for 10, 15 years down the road that girls, you know, who are 4 or 5 can aspire to play in. And, you know, that includes a lot of players, and I wouldn't even include myself in this because I'm still only 2 years out from graduating, but a lot of my teammates who were in the prime of their careers took this opportunity to kind of take a stand and play less games in a year to ultimately hopefully have a league down the road. So it's pretty selfless, in my opinion, for a lot of those players to kind of put their own careers in a difficult situation for the future of the game. And yeah, that just includes playing games, you know, all over North America and trying to get in the room with the right people that can kind of help us accomplish this dream. And I think for me, the cool part, or like the exciting part about it, is obviously Coach talked about, you know, Canada versus USA at the Olympics, and that's 46 players, right? And there's a lot more elite women's hockey players that deserve to have an opportunity to dream to play somewhere that's not, you know, a roster of 23. So it's exciting for me to think that more of these elite players coming out of the NCAA and maybe coming out of the U Sport League in Canada as well and other countries to be able to keep playing hockey and not have to give it up because the Olympic dream didn't work out for them.
All right. So as per tradition, always good to hear from Micah Zandihart. Honestly, that it was an honor to get to sit down with her and you know, just to get to, you know, delve into the mind of an Olympian and to hear her share her stories. It's a true honor. And I can't, of course, we can't thank her enough for coming on the podcast to be here with us. And so, yeah, it was a great conversation. But, you know, looking into the week ahead, here for the Big Red, this is not going to be an easy weekend. We have the New Haven road trip where we're going to Yale on Friday and then Brown on Saturday. So this is an interesting split. I find it very interesting. So in terms of how our opponents match up, Yale is currently undefeated. They're riding an 8-game winning streak. They've won all their games. They most recently are the Henderson Collegiate Hockey Showcase champion. And that was a collegiate showcase in Nevada where they swept both Boston and BU and Minnesota. So those are very, very heavy hitting teams coming into this weekend, which will be at home for them. So we're going to go down to New Haven to go play them. But it's going to be a very, very tough matchup for the Big Red. In terms of what I want to see from this game, I definitely want to see more shots. We got to get shots on net because just crash the net more, play your game. But also I want to harken back to something that Coach brought up a while back, which was tempo. If we can find our tempo and we can find a way to possess the puck, get the puck in our O-zone and just go hard to the net, crash the net, and create good chances, good scoring chances, we can beat them. We can hand them their first loss of the season, and it'll be an upset. It'll be great. It's going to be great to watch. And I definitely can't wait to see how that goes. So that's Yale. That's Friday. Now, Brown Bears are not as good. They're 4-5-1 overall. So they're obviously... Well, I shouldn't jinx it because that's the broadcaster's jinx. Never underestimate a team that is down. I will say that. So that's going to be a good game as well. That's at 6 p.m. on Saturday in Providence. They just recently lost to number 11 Providence College, 3-4 at Providence for the 27th Mayor's Cup. And that was a pretty tough match. So, you know, the Brown Bears are hungry. So this is not, I would not take this at face value and say that this weekend is going to be easy at all, because Yale is a powerhouse. They're hungry for more. They don't want to lose. Brown, on the other hand, is hungry to get some more wins in the column. So it's our job to go down there and to get the weekend sweep with, you know, just crashing the net and creating those big, juicy chances. And honestly, it's going to be a good weekend. Although, what I will say, this is now, we're now entering the stretch of the season where this is no longer, this is crunch time. Because if you look at the schedule now, this weekend, it's going to be December 2nd, December 3rd, Yale and Brown. But then coming up, we get a week off, but then we play OSU, Ohio State University at Lina. These games, how we play against Yale and how we play against Brown, is going to be foreshadowing, in my opinion, for how the Ohio State series is going to go. The Ohio State University are the defending champs. It's, you know, as much as I love the Big Red, it also is my quite many of my cousins' alma mater. And they were all really upset with me that I didn't apply there. But, you know, I just didn't. Sorry to all my cousins. But anyways, yeah, this is going to be a tough stretch for the Big Red. And if we can get a weekend sweep against Yale and Brown, that'll put us in prime position to get to come back home, get some practice in, and get ready for this OSU series. Because I know I will be there, but I don't know about some of y'all. Y'all will be at break. But it's definitely going to be a good weekend ahead. I can't wait to see how that goes down. And so we will definitely – It's going to be a good weekend. It's going to be a good weekend. That's all I'll say. You know, with that, thank you for tuning into this episode of the Big Red Hockey Cast for and from the Lina Faithful. This has been a Big Red Sports Network production. BRSN is a student-run organization dedicated to promoting the voices of Cornell student athletes. As always, make sure to check out Cornell BRSN. That's at Cornell BRSN on Instagram and at www.cornellbrsn.com. As always, special thanks to our producers, Mike Farku, Matt Furman, Abby Ruggiero, Gabe Zolet, Jake Klein, and the entire BRSN team. Ciao, ciao for now. We'll see you next week.